What are the dangers of the social justice gospel, and what standard do we as Christians hold to? This is We the Exiles.
We will not, build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
Hey, hey.
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray Jesus Christ may be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
So we're finally here. We are in our new studio space. Welcome to the We the Exile set.
Woo! It feels good.
It does.
It feels homey.
It feels great. I'm excited to be here and to be able to run the show from the space. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And to be now doing video.
Yeah, to have video. We wanted to have video from the beginning. That was always our goal when we were praying through this, wanting to start We the Exiles in general. We were going to start with video, but for financial reasons and other things, we started smaller. We started with a podcast, and now we're here. And that is because of Patreon supporters.
Yeah,
this studio space and set is because of them.
Thanks to our supporters on Patreon. We were able to fund the stuff to make this possible with this setup, and we were able to do it on a decent budget, and it was cool. And so now we're here, and so we thank you guys for those who have supported us, and we're excited to get into today's show.
We are. Opening up, I wanted to in what we call our appetizer segment. That's what this opening segment is. For those who are new to the podcast in general, we have three segments. I just want to recap them since this is the video portion that we're launching today. We have our appetizer segment, which is the segment we're in now. We have what we call our main dish, which is the bulk of the discussion that we're going to have on a topic. On a particular topic. And then we have our closing segment, which we call the dessert segment. And that's kind of how this podcast works. Those who've listened to the podcast audio only have heard, are aware of that. So we're in the appetizer segment now. And today we wanted to look at in this segment this trailer for this documentary that is being produced by Founders Ministry. It's kind of created a little bit of a stir since it was released in July. The documentary is going to be called By What Standard? And we wanted to show you this trailer and then kind of talk about it. So let's we're going to go and we're going to watch this trailer. The trailer is called, the documentary is going to be called By What Standard? God's World, God's Rule, God's Rules. Here is that trailer.
This is God's world, and he gets to set the rules. I see godless ideologies that have spread throughout Western civilization over the last several decades with a vengeance.
I'd just like to directly address my white brothers and sisters out there
to tell us what we are supposed to be seeing.
Seek outside counsel. We're just not experts in this.
I believe that God has given particularly what we call white evangelicals a divine opportunity.
Many of these ideologies have been smuggled into many evangelical churches and organizations through the Trojan horse of social justice.
We've got an opportunity to prove we need to listen more than we talk.
I was not trained in any of this. Churches are going to be better for finding subject matter experts and pulling them in.
We've not been black.
This understanding is what causes so many who are moving in these circles, advocating these ideologies, to tell people in the hegemony that what they must do is sit down and be quiet and listen.
Let's really step up to the plate and humble ourselves the way every Christian should humble themselves and say to the Dahadis and to say to my brothers and sisters here, teach us.
And I think some people think the gospel would advance much more rapidly if we ingratiated ourselves to the culture. So there's that impulse, and then sometimes just a tenderness, like, what could possibly matter if she preach. She's got a Bible word. I heard somebody on TV, and she preached better than my preacher.
A Southern Baptist convention that doesn't have a place for Beth Moore doesn't have a place for a lot of us.
We need to turn the women loose with the gift that God have ordained them to even preach to men and women. And that's exactly what Paul instructed Phoebe to do.
And then we talk ourselves into outsmarting the Bible. And it's almost like, yeah, let's try a little of that. Well, no, that wouldn't matter either. And then you wake up one day and like you're egalitarian.
We're always having the powers, the spiritual powers and principalities exert pressure on us. That's not new.
So if we can take a clear passage of Scripture that says, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority, when we're finished with it, it now says, I do permit a woman in some cases, then there is no stopping where you can take that and where that will go.
I had a major newspaper call me and accost me with that. You know, can you deny the complementarianism behind much abuse? I said, well, clearly it was not motivating Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, that's right.
The ideas of liberal Christianity did not die. And they're here with a vengeance.
The critical race theory and intersectionality are simply analytical tools. They're meant to be used as tools,
That's not true. It's naive.
And we're seeing all of this overt attack from the left outside of the church, but the insidious stuff inside the church, frequently that people don't even recognize for what it is, that uses our guilt and our shame against us to get us to do self-destructive things.
You see, it's precisely at this point that I think we're being played. We recognize the obligation, and we can be played into their agenda as to what to do in order to pursue justice.
That has been their core tactic for a century and a half. It's not new. It's not even new to Southern Baptists. Because Satan does this. He is constantly telling you you should be guilty when you're forgiven. He is constantly asking you to live with regrets when the Father has taken all the sins of the world.
Bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, we're probably a little later to this because... apparently,
I just saw it yesterday.
Apparently, it's caused a big uproar.
It has, and we're going to get into some of that in just a second. I just want to ask a few questions in relation to that trailer. So as you were watching that, does this trailer seem to be divisive in nature or intent? And do we agree with what is being laid out in the trailer? And I'm just going to give my point of view. You can give yours too. But
thank you.
For me, I don't see it as divisive. And I agree. I'm going to be one who sides with that, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we live in a day where everything is offensive,
mm-hmm.
And I see that it is far more beneficial for us now to begin to draw that line.
Mm-hmm.
We need to draw that line and side with God and His Word, and we need to be okay with that and stop being apologist. That doesn't mean we aren't loving and we don't care for those who are suffering and we don't. Try to have civil conversation with those who disagree with us, but at no point do we ever move away from the standard that we have set to us in God's Word. And that's where I would live.
Yeah, and I personally love things like this, where people are making a bold statement, affirming God's Word, and making that clear. Obviously, this is a small teaser trailer to what will be. I think they're raising money for this documentary now, and hopefully it'll be very beneficial to people. So we'll have to wait and see what the whole documentary is going to portray. But from the teaser, I think it's pulling out some critical things that we need to be discussing.
Absolutely. You should see this here on the screen. This comes from the Baptist Press at bpnews.net. This was an article for seminary leaders voice concern over film's preview. This was about Art Tolston on July 24th, 2019. And here's some quotes from some tweets from some of these Southern Baptist leaders in response to that trailer, starting with Danny Atkin. It says, voicing his disappointment, Atkin wrote, "What I saw was edited footage that I believe to be misleading, which misrepresents important issues and what leaders in the SBC actually affirm. Atkin voiced concern about what the tone, tenure, and that my association with and contribution to this film be removed. I hope my brothers will reconsider their strategy for communicating our deeply held Southern Baptist conviction that the Bible is our sole foundation and authority of all life and faith." Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary in Kentucky, he says in three tweets on July 23rd, he wrote, "I am alarmed at how some respected SBC leaders are represented. He has long known and enjoyed the company of the folks who made the video and the folks offended by the video, and I am hopeful that Founders Ministry will respond appropriately and in a way that affirms their intention to be a responsible voice in the SBC." The trailer, Mohler wrote, is a reminder that how we engage and represent one another is important as what we argue and who we engage. Let's encourage one another to good works, good theology, and good mood. Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, said, "This trailer is either a clickbait promo piece or it foreshadows a movie that's uncharitable and unhelpful. A founder's ministry has often played a constructive role in SBC life, but I'm afraid this video isn't such an occasion. These issues demand we engage with clarity and charity." And I want to read now... you can follow along with this too, the response. This is Thomas School. He's the president of Founders Ministry, the ones putting out this documentary. And just read his response. This is his response here, starting here. Some have accused us of misrepresenting the words spoken by certain people who appear in the trailer. We do not believe we misrepresent anyone's words. I have two encouragements to anyone concerned that we have misrepresented them or taken them out of context. First, go and listen to the unedited interviews that are available. You can find them actually through Founders. Remember that it is merely a trailer and there's not time for presentation of the full context of every clip. We love our brothers and sisters in the SBC and rejoice that we can discuss and debate critical matters of Christian doctrine and practice. And then if you go down here, he says, "The postmodern deconstructionist worldview, which Joshua Harris recently evoked as an explanation for why he walked away from biblical Christianity, has given rise to godless ideologies like radical feminism, critical race theory, and intersectionality. These ideologies are being smuggled into conservative Christian churches and entities, often by well-meaning but misguided teachers. If they are not identified and repudiated, they will have disastrous consequences for the spread of the gospel in the faith of millions of people. These ideologies are not merely opposed, but are actually antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where the gospel unites people of all races, sexes, and nationalities in gratitude for grace, these alien frameworks intentionally divide, rejecting mercy in favor of endless recrimination and resentment." And he goes on here, and I just want to read this at the bottom. It says, "It is obvious that faithful brothers and sisters can and do disagree on these issues involved. Some who agree on the issues disagree on the strategies for addressing them. I have friends in both categories who disagree with me, but I must respectfully disagree with those who say we are stirring up division by addressing these issues. Southern Baptists are already discussing these issues and have been for some time. We do them a great disservice by pretending they are not and that they do not deserve this discussion. And finally, my hope and prayer is that this film will bring desperately needed attention to teachings and practices that need to be reevaluated in the light of God's word. He has spoken, and we live under the authority of his word. It is important that we take him at his word and trust him to guide us in his ways as we joyfully and confidently submit ourselves to it." And you can find that on founders.org, as well as the trailer and Tom Askell's response to that. But yeah, I agree. I'm on the side of the fence that is for things like that. Again, everything we're going to say is going to offend. And we have to understand too, we've talked about this, the Bible's offensive. Mm-hmm. It is all truth of scripture is counter to the culture that hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to definitely be offensive. But yeah, I encourage you to go watch that trailer and, go see the responses, and we're not saying you have to side one way or another. We agree that things should be done in a loving manner, but we are getting to a point where the definition of what is loving and encouraging can also be askewed as well.
Oh yeah.
So let's always be mindful and be on guard, but always be submitting ourselves to the standard of God and His Word. Chandler, how do I stay connected to all things We the Exiles?
Super easy. Remember this, at We The Exiles. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter using that handle, at We The Exiles. Also, don't forget to check out our website at www.wetheexiles.com.
Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We The Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For only $10 a month, you can support the ministry of We The Exiles.
Only $10?
That's right. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, it brings me great joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. So head on over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/WeTheExiles, and become an exile today.
Order up!
The main dish!
According to God's word, we must always be on guard. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens." The biggest part of what we do with We The Exiles is examining culture in light of Scripture. We do this with an emphasis on Christian culture because we see too much worldly culture blending with Christianity. In September of 2018, the statement on social justice in the gospel came out. And at that time, it stirred the pot and was seen somewhat controversial. Today, we want to talk about the ideology known as the social justice gospel. And today, we also want to look at why is it dangerous and why we believe this is only the beginning of what is to come with this particular issue. First, we need to define what is social justice gospel. It is taking social justice and making them an added part of the overall gospel message of Christ. It is undermining the sufficiency of Scripture and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is engaged solely in social justice, particularly in relation to race, manhood, womanhood, and sexuality. So starting there, let me say that both Chandler and myself wholeheartedly believe that Christians will produce good fruit, and some of this fruit is uplifting justice. We must deny as Christians any injustice we see, but we do not in any way suggest that the undeniable mark of any gospel-believing man or woman is rooted in their support of social justice. We know as Christians true justice is displayed by God Himself. And what do we mean by all of this? Well, we simply mean that every person on this planet starts on the same playing field. Our social or economic upbringing makes us neither more equipped or less equipped in the matters of the heart in light of a holy God. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And yes, it is part of our duty to care for the least of these, but the glorious gospel of Christ is not dependent on how we as Christians support social justice. Our lives are dependent alone on the saving work of Christ.
Amen.
So with that, by all means, fight for injustice, but we believe once a heart is truly changed by the saving work of Christ, you will have no opportunity to support injustice, but rather only support true justice. And so with that, I want to share this short clip. It's called Salt and Light and Social Justice. It's from MacArthur, and this helps kind of deeper explain what it is we're going to be discussing. So here is that clip.
You know, when our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the salt and light in the world, He didn't really define it there in any more detail than that. And so that has gotten really a misrepresentation of some serious proportions. People have assumed that this idea of salt and light is just some kind of, minimal influence. That, you know, we're supposed to influence the world in social ways and moral ways and maybe even economic ways. That is not what he is talking about. When he talks about salt and light, he is talking about the direct influence in the world of the Word of God. The Bible says, "The entrance of your word gives light." Light is always the truth of God. It isn't just the church's moral influence or social influence or economic influence, political influence. That's not what he's talking about. That's not light. Light is Scripture. Light is Christ. I am the light of the world. And when he talks about salt, he's talking about something that preserves, something that sort of stalls off or delays corruption. And again, what is that? That's the truth. That's the gospel. It preserves a society, you might say, from judgment. So salt and light takes us to the gospel, to the light of Scripture, and that is the call to believers in the world.
And this is, what we mean by true justice. We have to remember that Christ himself said, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And that's in Matthew 5:17. It is our duty to uphold the law of God. We want our culture to find justice at it as it is defined by God and not by the culture.
Right. And that's part of that being salt and light. We are supposed to be lights in this world and salt. And we're supposed to be living, salty lives in the sense that we are producing good fruit mm-hmm. in our lives as Christians. But the manner of which, how that's defined, or what light or the salt that we're producing is not determined by culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. See, there was a time when the church actually influenced the majority of our culture. If we think even back to the historical contents of our nation, a lot of our forefathers in the beginning of this nation was founded upon, though they may be moral principles, that were rooted, though, in and shaped and permeated by God's word.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time that's like that, and we as Christians should want that. We as Christians, we should want God's word and our faith and what we believe to shape culture, not the other way around. And that's part of being salt and light. So our light to the world is giving them the greatest message that there is, yeah. The gospel of Jesus Christ.
To be faithful to preach the good news of Christ.
Absolutely. Not to align ourselves with these extra things, though, be it understand there are places where we should be as Christians engaged, specifically in injustices. But a lot of what we see in culture is a lot more claiming to be injustices, but they're really just masking unlawful ways of life
yeah.
that are actually against God and
sin.
His word. Sin, yeah. So with all of this, we're actually going to go look at this statement on social justice gospel, on social justice and the gospel. So this statement was released last September, and you should see, right now the introduction here on this page.
And for those that are just listening to the audio, you can find it on...
Right. You can go to statementsonsocialjustice.com. But if you're watching this, you should be able to see this. I've tried my best to outline things in red. So here we go. I'm going to read the introduction, and then we're going to look at some of the affirmations. But please, be encouraged to go actually look at this statement on social justice yourself if you haven't looked into it already. In view of questionable sociological and psychological, as well as political theories presently permeating our culture and making inroads into Christchurch, we wish to clarify certain key Christian doctrines and ethical principles prescribed in God's Word. Clarity on these issues will fortify believers and churches to withstand an onslaught of dangerous and false teachings that threaten the gospel, misrepresent Scripture, and lead people away from the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Specifically, we are deeply concerned that values borrowed from secular culture are currently undermining Scripture in the areas of race, ethnicity, manhood and womanhood, and human sexuality. The Bible's teaching on each of these subjects is being challenged under the broad and somewhat nebulous rubric of concern for social justice. If the doctrines of God's Word are not uncompromisingly reasserted and defended at these points, there is every reason to anticipate that these dangerous ideas and corrupted moral values will spread their influence into other realms of biblical doctrines and principles. We submit these affirmations and denials for public consideration, not with any pretense of ecclesiastical authority, but with an urgency that is mixed with deep joy and sincere sorrow. The rapidity with which these deadly ideas have spread from the culture at large into churches and Christian organizations, including some that are evangelical and reformed, necessitates the issuing of this statement now. And there are 1, 2, 3...
There's 14.
14 affirmations and denials. Some of these are, at the root, pretty much the same core values that you would see listed on most church websites. Mm-hmm. Affirming Scripture, God's law, things like that. We affirm those. We want to look at specifically some of these affirmations that may be a little bit more... I don't want to say controversial, but they definitely go against the grain of even some... popular churches in our culture today. So we're going to look at those, starting with, which one are we starting with?
Heresy.
Heresy. So as we read these, you should also be able to see these on the screen and follow along. We're starting with heresy.
We affirm that heresy is a denial of or departure from a doctrine that is essential to the Christian faith. We further affirm that heresy often involves the replacement of key essential truths with variant concepts or the elevation of non-essentials to the status of essentials. To embrace heresy is to depart from the faith once delivered to the saints and thus to be on a path towards spiritual destruction. We affirm that the accusation of heresy should be reserved for those departures from Christian truth that destroy the weight-bearing doctrines of the redemptive core of Scripture. We affirm that accusations of heresy should be accompanied with clear evidence of such destructive beliefs. We deny that the charge of heresy can be legitimately brought against every failure to achieve perfect conformity to all that is implied in sincere faith in the gospel.
Sexuality and marriage. We affirm that God created mankind, male and female, and that this divinely determined distinction is good, proper, and to be celebrated. Maleness and femaleness are biologically determined at conception and are not subject to change. The curse of sin results in sinful, disordered affections that manifest in some people as same-sex attraction. Salvation grants sanctifying power to renounce such dishonorable affections as sinful and to mortify them by the Spirit. We further affirm that God's design for marriage is that one woman and one man live in a one-flesh covenantal sexual relationship until separated by death. Those who lack the desire or opportunity for marriage are called to serve God in singleness and chastity. This is as noble as the calling of marriage. And we deny that human sexuality is a socially constructed concept. We also deny that one sex can be fluid. We reject gay Christian as a legitimate biblical category, and we further deny that any kind of partnership or union can properly be called marriage other than one man and one woman in lifelong covenant together. We further deny that people should be identified as sexual minorities, which serves as a cultural classification rather than the one that honors the image-bearing character of human sexuality as created by God.
Next, we have complementarianism. We affirm that God created mankind both male and female with inherent biological and personal distinctions between them and that these created differences are good, proper, and beautiful. Though there is no difference between men and women before God's law or as recipients of his saving grace, we affirm that God has designed men and women with distinct traits and to fulfill distinct roles. These differences are most clearly defined in marriage and the church, but are not irrelevant in other spheres of life. In marriage, the husband is to lead, love, and safeguard his wife, and his wife is to respect and be submissive to her husband in all things lawful. In the church, qualified men alone are to lead as pastors, elders, bishops, and preach to and teach the whole congregation. We further affirm that the image of God is expressed most fully and beautifully in human society when men and women walk in the obedience to their God-ordained roles and serve according to their God-given gifts. We deny that the God-ordained differences in men's and women's roles disparage the inherent spiritual worth or value of one over the other, nor do those differences in any way inhibit either men or women from flourishing for the glory of God.
Race and ethnicity. We affirm God made all people from one man. Though people often can be distinguished by different ethnicities and nationalities, they are ontological equals. before God in both creation and redemption. Race is not a biblical category, but rather a social construct that often has been used to classify groups of people in terms of inferiority and superiority. All that is good, honest, just, and beautiful in various ethnic backgrounds and experiences can be celebrated as the fruit of God's grace. All sinful actions and their results, including evils perpetuated between and upon ethnic groups by others, are to be confessed as sinful, repented of, and repudiated. We deny that Christians should segregate themselves into racial groups or regard racial identity above or even equal to their identity in Christ. We deny that any divisions between people groups from an unstated attitude of superiority to an overt spirit of resentment have any legitimate place in the fellowship of the redeemed, and we reject any teachings that encourage racial groups to view themselves as privileged oppressors or entitled victims of oppression. While we are to weep with those who weep, we deny that a person's feelings of offense or oppression necessarily prove that someone else is guilty of sinful behaviors, oppression, or prejudice.
Culture. We affirm that some cultures operate on assumptions that are inherently better than those of other cultures because of the biblical truths that inform those worldviews that have produced these distinct assumptions. Those elements of a given culture that reflect divine revelation should be celebrated and promoted, but the various cultures out of which we have been called all have features that are worldly and sinful, and therefore those sinful features should be repudiated for the honor of Christ. We affirm that whatever evil influences to which we have been subjected via our culture can be and must be overcome through conversion and the training of both mind and heart through biblical truth. We deny that individuals and subgroups in any culture are unable by God's grace to rise above whatever moral defects or spiritual deficiencies have been engendered or encouraged by the respective cultures.
And lastly, racism. We affirm that racism is a sin rooted in pride and malice, which must be condemned and renounced by all who would honor the image of God in all people. Such racial sin can subtly and overtly manifest itself as racial animosity or racial vainglory. Such sinful prejudice or partiality falls short of God's revealed will and violates the rule law of love. We affirm that virtually all cultures, including our own, at times contain laws and systems that foster racist attitudes and policies. We deny that treating people with sinful partiality or prejudice is consistent with biblical Christianity, and we deny that only those in positions of power are capable of racism, or that individuals of any particular ethnic groups are incapable of racism. We deny that systematic racism is in any way compatible with the core principles of historic evangelical convictions, and we deny that the Bible can be legitimately used to foster or justify partiality, prejudice, or contempt toward other ethnicities. We deny that contemporary evangelical movement has any deliberate agenda to elevate one ethnic group and subjugate another. And we emphatically deny that lectures on social issues or activism aimed at reshaping the wider culture are as vital to the life and health of the church as the preaching of the gospel and the exposition of scripture. Historically, such things tend to become distractions that inevitably lead to departure from the gospel.
By reading this statement, we hope to have brought some clarity to those growing issues. We know and understand that this is not an easy topic to discuss, but we feel that is a matter of increasing importance. Clearly, the biggest underlying issue with any of this is the sufficiency of Scripture. When we begin to let the world and its ideologies and definitions creep into the church, we are putting ourselves on a dangerous path.
Yes, to close out, I want to play this clip. Before we do that, I just kind of want to summarize here how we feel towards this. Those things that we just read, and you'll find actually scripture references to every single affirmation at the bottom of those affirmations. They're clear in scripture, and that's what we're doing here with discussing what the social justice gospel is. We're calling ourselves back to the mandate, which is for all of us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you. This is the commission that we've all been given. And nowhere in there does it line itself up with social justices. We need to make sure that we have definitions that are clear, definitions that God defines, not the world. And so when it comes to matters of racism, we know racism is true. We understand that. But it's important how we define that and how do we as Christians attack that and look at that. everybody is capable of racism. Everybody is capable of injustices because we are all wicked. But it is important for us as the church, it is important for us as Christians, that we be more careful of making social justices the primary part of who we are and forget that without the saving work of Christ, there is no change in anyone's mm-hmm. life. There is no hope for the homosexual who is in sin without Christ. There's no hope for the racist without Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I would add, one of the big differences we see is like these things that are being infiltrated into these circles, it's nothing different than what the world wants. You know, the world wants the same justices. And a lot of the times the justices that the world is looking to the church and saying, you need to come along on this, or you're not, you know, preaching the gospel rightly. A lot of these things are sinful, and they're trying to make they're trying to make that commonplace.
Right.
And saying, you know, and swiping their sin away under the banner of the gospel, and that's not clear.
That's not. And we understand that Jesus, you hear the argument, you know, that Jesus was the greatest social justice warrior there is, and that's not what we see at all. What we see is Jesus, more than anyone, upholding the standard that God mm-hmm. had already set. He's submitting himself perfectly to the will of the Father. Jesus did care about injustice, but you don't see him going around partaking in every single form of quote-unquote social justices in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
nor is he affirming anything that is deemed black and white sinful in yeah. Scripture. So to close out, we're going to play this clip. During the last Shepherd's Conference held by John MacArthur and Grace Community Church, this issue was brought up. You may have seen this clip, and there's a lot to it. So we're going to, again, put all these resources up on our website. You'll be able to find everything and watch them all in full. But here I just want to – it's a clip of John MacArthur addressing. On this stage, you have Mark Dever, Legan Duncan, Albert Moeller, Sinclair Ferguson, Phil Johnson, of course, is mediating the discussion, and then John MacArthur. And I just like what he says here because it really does sum up his heart and kind of us as well of kind of what it's like looking at this issue. So I'm going to play this here. It's called Thinking Biblically About Social Justice.
There's no question about our biblical commitment. No question about the fact that we're anchored deep in theology. No question about the fact that we want to care for the people who suffer, right? I mean, that's part of being Christian. The confusion comes when people keep identifying other groups of people as those who suffer. And we have all these new people to deal with who don't really suffer, but there's a category created for them which makes them a suffering group, and we're trying to figure out how do we deal with that. I don't have a problem with helping poor people or helping people who suffer, dealing with, I've had a lot of experience in the South, and I don't have any problem with the church reaching out in love and lifting up these people. But if they keep creating new groups who are identified as those who are disenfranchised, suffering people, they put the evangelical church in a really odd place because now you've got all the Me Too people, you've got all the LGBTQ people, and who knows what's the transgender people, and they keep identifying groups of suffering people, and at some point we have to make a biblical stand. We have to say, well, wait a minute, and you all know that. We all know that. But I think to the culture and to some more liberal people, they think we're stopping short of where our Christianity should take us, right? We ought to embrace all these groups. I can hardly keep up with all of the new ones that are appearing on the surface. So I think for us to find our way to real suffering people dealing with real issues and love them in Christ and care for them and lift them up and maybe provide things for them that they haven't had in the past in the name of Jesus Christ is fine. But I can't become a victim of every new group that this culture invents for reasons that have very little to do with helping people and have to do with political power.
To find all the additional resources used on We the Exiles, head on over to www.wetheexiles.com and click on the Resources tab. www.wetheexiles.com and click on the Resources tab.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Yeah, and that's true. Like we were saying there in that clip, we have to. Where does it end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where does it end? And I guess that's the thing, is that what makes you, you know, it's not our place to necessarily judge who's the suffering and not. We understand that. But a lot of these organizations and a lot of this call, again, like we've talked about, is from a place of really sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's claiming oppression. And most of it's claiming oppression because the moral ideologies that have, specifically in Western culture, let's say America, that have been around for years, that's what they're oppressed by. But we have to understand that a lot of those moral values are founded in God's word. Mm-hmm. There, it's where they came from. The foundation was there.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, trying to tweak scriptures that are clear, and we're seeing that a lot more because the world is increasingly becoming more anti-Christ, and they're trying to fit that into the church. They're trying to fit those things so churches can be like, well, how are we going to reach those people if we don't, you know, it's all in the manner of trying to hold on to culture when the Bible clearly tells us to be apart from culture, set apart from culture.
Yeah, it's dangerous because a lot of times it's under this umbrella of loving when that's such an easy thing to throw out and say and then make someone feel like they're outside of loving just because they're holding to the standard that their faith is rooted in. That's not unloving.
Truly loving someone is preaching the gospel of Christ, the one who can save from sin.
Right. So citing and taking these ideas, like intersectionality, the changing of the guard on the definitions of manhood, womanhood, and of course race and all that, and making that the crux, the crucial part of the discussions that we're having and the this better be a part of what your church is established on. Mm-hmm. This better be a part of your presentation and preachings. This better be valued.
Yeah.
Is dangerous because it's what we see is that getting those right definitions, understanding, just like in those affirmations we read, understanding true biblical manhood and womanhood, understanding how we fit into race and how racism is bad and how we look at each other and according to image bearers of God, and then also sexuality, and it's the way that sexual immorality has become is kind of being backtracked now in our culture. Mm-hmm. All that is fixed when we have a correct understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When we are truly saved, that fixes that, and that's bringing me to this point here, is that in talk of the social justice gospel or just social justice in general, it's good for us to recenter on the actual gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, And I want to share that and just kind of remind ourselves of that. Look, like we've said, we all begin on the same playing field. And we all are born as sinners. In Genesis 2 and 3, we have the story of Adam and Eve. Most people are familiar with it. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they shouldn't. And through them, sin entered into the world. We are all technically one race through God, through the seed of Adam. And because of that, and because of Adam's sin, we are born as sinners. We don't develop into sinners. We are... In sin did my mother conceive me, right? This is David in Psalm. We are sinners. And that's a problem because God is holy. And God has given us his statutes and commands to follow. You can look at Exodus of the Ten Commandments. You can also see Christ taking these commandments even further. But we have God's law all throughout Scripture. And there's a problem because of our sinfulness. We are unable to keep God's law perfectly. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So that means one failing of any one of God's laws and we are due death. Death not just in physical, but death in eternity, meaning that we will never reach heaven. We will never be able to experience eternity with God the Father because of our sin. And that's a problem because guess what? We're all sinners. So this is why the gospel is such good news, because God, though there was not a way, made a way because he loves us. He is merciful. He made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived the life required of you and I through God's law, fulfilling every part of it, submitting perfectly to the Father's will, and going to the cross to die for our sins. Understand, when Christ is praying in the garden to take this cup from me, he says, not my will, but your will be done. He knew the pain that was coming because he was fully man and fully God. But he went because of the amazing love he has for us. He died on the cross for our sins, experiencing one of the worst deaths any human being in the physical can experience. But what crushed Christ the most was the wrath of God, the wrath you and I deserve, being poured out on him. He was buried in a barred tomb, and 3 days later he arose, conquering hell and the grave, so that those who repent a turning of sin, repent, put their faith and trust in Christ, will be saved. And there is no other way but through Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There is no other way, no other religion. There is no way to eternity with God but through Christ. And that is the hope. And when we are saved, we are made a new creation. We are made a new creation. There is now a war within us between flesh and spirit, and that continues to sanctify us to pursue holiness for our entire lives. God is raising up holy men. He doesn't want unholy. That's the whole point, that he can't have sin. We are to be made holy, and that means, well, we don't side with culture. Because the things that culture deems as right, but God deems as sinful, guess what we have to do? We have to also say those things are sinful as well, because God is right and man is wrong. So, thank goodness for the gospel. The gospel that is the only saving work that we can put our trust in through Christ alone. It's by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. He is the way. So, that's the hope. And when that happens, when we are saved by Christ, our ideas of manhood and womanhood, guess what? They're put into right view. Our ideas of sexuality, they're put into right view. Our ideas on race and loving our brothers and sisters, no matter what color or culture they come from or ethnic group they come from, it's put into right view.
Yeah.
Christ fixes that. He is the Redeemer.
Absolutely. Amen. For our dessert segment, we want to look at a passage of Scripture. We're going to do Colossians 2, 6 through 15, and it kind of goes along with the discussion for today. So we'll look there now. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Amen.
I love that. All of our trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? See, with Christ, God does no longer sees our sin. He sees the perfect submission and perfection of Christ on in our place. Christ's perfect life is copied and pasted on our life if we have repented and put our faith and trust in him.
And this pushes us to no longer want to indulge in sin. It's not a free car to continue in sin. It's we find our complete joy in Christ. We no longer want those things. We right. no longer want the world.
And that's why the Bible itself in speaking truth will be offensive. Because again, everything in the word is anti-culture. Mm-hmm. It's anti what our culture wants and desires, because our culture is striving for itself through its sinful
yes,
pleasure.
Yes.
And the Bible is about God being glorified above all things. Mm-hmm. This is anti our nature when we were born, just like we talked about. So yes, these things are going to be offensive. We don't come out like with a bat swinging, intentionally be offensive. You preach truth in this culture and you will be deemed offensive no matter what. It's not our goal to be offensive, but it's going to be offensive. And we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm on this. Just like it says, I'm saying this so no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. That's our culture. They're going to make arguments sound reasonable. They're going to call you unloving. They're going to say things to you that put you in a corner and make you feel like, well, especially yeah. in weaker faith, maybe you are. And we have to understand that's not going to matter. What about eternity?
Mm-hmm.
Those things are not going to matter.
Yeah. The thing is the world will try to guilt trip us into believing that we need to take further action on these social injustices. And the thing is, we no longer have guilt through Christ. We're not burdened to accommodate to the world and its standards. We can be affirmed in the authority of Scripture, and we can stand firm on that because it is everlasting and it will never change.
That's right.
So we prayerfully hope that by having this discussion and you know, this is something that we continue to discuss. So by having this discussion, you know, we might not say all the right things or have all the right things in place in trying to make this clear, but we hope that this has been beneficial and that maybe it'll create discussion for you. We encourage you to go do your own studying, look these things up. Like Cameron said, we'll have all the content that we've put on this show on our website at www.wetheexiles.com. So we encourage you to take a look at that as well. But again, just mainly be encouraged by the gospel of Christ, that Christ saves.
Yeah. It should excite us. Truth, specifically God's truth, should excite us as Christians. And that's, I guess, the big thing with all this is it's hard for me, just like with the, going back to the trailer for the documentary in the beginning, it's just hard for me to look at those things negatively in a culture that hates God so much.
Yeah.
And where we are today, we need to be standing firm. We need to be on guard, and we need to have a warrior mindset out. So we're supposed to put on the full armor of God.
And the most loving thing we can do is preach the gospel of Christ Jesus.
It really is.
This is dangerous territory for us to even be talking on this subject, but we feel it's important. And so we're trying our best to present that to you guys. We understand by having this discussion, a lot of people are going to look at it and be like, y'all are so unloving. This is so just wrong. We don't claim to be right in our own selves. We look at Scripture and try to determine what God has set as the standard. The most loving thing that we can do is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people would be saved from their sins.
Absolutely. And all those other things, they will fall into place. Again, thank you for this. This is awesome. Our very first broadcast. Of course, John and I want to continue learning and how to make this better. And that's what we're going to be striving for. But we hope you found it beneficial. Thank you again to all of our Patreon supporters. Coming this Tuesday is our very first episode in what we're calling our Mug Talk, which is the extra podcast episode that you get if you are a Patreon supporter. And we call it that because if you, of course, supported us on Patreon, you get these. Get one of these mugs.
Yeah. So if you would like to join in with the Exiles, be an exile and support us, you can do so at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/WeTheExiles. For $10 a month, you can become an exile. And with that, you get the mug, you get early content, you get our Mug Talk, which is an extension of this podcast. And you'll get a bunch of other things that right. other people will not be able to get. But we really appreciate the support. It's helping us kind of grow things. And we have a lot of ideas. And we have a lot of things that we would love to do. And we need support for that. So if you would prayerfully consider supporting us, you can do so there.
Yeah. And if you want to know all the plans that we have, go back and listen to the previous just audio podcast. Or one of the previous ones.
I think it's the last one we did.
And it talks about these goals and what your support actually does go to. Again, thank you guys. Well, until next time, keep your eyes set on Christ and fight the good fight. This is We the Exiles.